Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
If you were the New York Jets, what would you do with that number 3 pick in the NFL draft? They clearly have a plan, or maybe multiple plans, depending on which dominoes drop ahead of them. Or could it be that they are attempting to move up even higher in the NFL draft? Right now, they're at number 3 after their trade with the Indianapolis Colts. So we can safely say the Colts are not looking for a quarterback. We knew that anyway. And they feel like they can save a few bucks and pick up a few extra draft picks courtesy of the New York Jets, who've got money to burn, baby. They've got money that is burning a hole in their pockets. So the common theory out there is quarterback. That makes sense. Yes, they've signed Josh McCown, and yes, they've signed Teddy Bridgewater, both of those guys on one-year deals. Yes, they have Bryce Petty and Christian Hackenberg, unless one of them has been cut and I don't know it. I feel like this is the case with the Browns and the Jets. They always have tons of quarterbacks. Like,
I'm a Jet.
Way more than they need, except they just can't settle on the one moving forward. It's always stopgap. It's always bridges. It's always trying out someone new, at least in recent memory. Mark Sanchez was there for a good long while. Anyway, so the New York Jets presumably are looking for their next franchise QB because they don't like the two recent draft picks that they chose. There are 4 names that we hear over and over in this NFL draft at the quarterback position. The Heisman Trophy winner, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Josh Allen. And they have different strengths and weaknesses. Most people that analyze the draft and that talk to teams and watch tape will tell you that these 4 guys are likely to go really high in the draft. Not necessarily because they're ready. It's a lot like last year, where you had 3 teams move up to get quarterbacks in the top 12 picks because they believed that they were looking at the future of their franchises. So they were willing to bet the house that Mitch Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson were the guys for their respective teams. And now you've got a great need at the top of the draft for QBs, either right away or in the very near future. And I think in most cases, the teams have made moves in free agency just to shore up that position and are hoping to bring in this rookie or that rookie with the raw ability, a lot of potential, but not a whole lot of training, at least to be a pro. Certainly, they all have flaws. They're hoping to get to the point where these guys will be their franchise QBs. And the case of the Jets is pretty interesting. I've seen mock drafts that have the Giants taking a quarterback or have the Giants taking Saquon Barkley. So, of course, what the Jets do at number 3, unless they move again, will depend in large part on what the Browns and the Giants do at 1 and 2, unless we see more deals. So I get it's an inexact science. It's almost like quicksand. You move too much, you might get stuck. Don't put too much energy into figuring it out because it could change and the sands could shift again before you know it. So don't get yourself locked into a particular idea. But it's definitely a fluid situation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'd love to hear from you. If you're the Jets, what do you do with that number 3 pick? Keeping in mind that it may depend on what happens above you, or if you're just looking at the top 5. The Broncos could end up taking a quarterback at number 5. So you could have quarterbacks go, theoretically. I don't know that it will happen. But you could have quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and 5. Whoa. And there are all kinds of theories about which team wants which QB and which team has fallen in love with which signal caller and other draft rankings and which one's the best one, but which one fits the system better. I mean, it's enough to make your head hurt, unless, of course, you love it. And then you're, It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Football fans, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Let's see. Let's think about it from the perspective of the Cleveland Browns, right? Just to start, there is a tie here. Don't you worry. The Browns, they traded for Tyrod Taylor. And there's a debate going on about whether Tyrod has instantly improved the position enough that they might stick with him. Now, of course, they're going to see what he does, but I still believe Hugh Jackson has a way with QBs. That's his natural teaching, coaching. That's what he wants to do. That's his area of expertise. And John Dorsey, you would think, wouldn't have gone out and traded for a quarterback without at least talking to his head coach. I believe that's in the past for the Cleveland Browns. That's not happening anymore. They now have communication between the coaching staff and the front office. But if you remember, before they hired John Dorsey, one of the big claims, one of the reasons why it still wasn't working is because you had a disconnect between the front office, who was making the choices about which players to sign and which players to draft, and the coaches who actually had to put them on the field. So let's assume that part is done and that John Dorsey would have consulted his head coach to find out what his coach was looking for in a QB, who his coach would like, who his coach wouldn't like. So they get Tyrod Taylor. Do they then still draft a quarterback at number one because they're worried that the QB they desperately want might get away, might be drafted by someone else before the Browns pick again at four? These are all really interesting questions. We don't necessarily have the answers. We only have speculation. What we do know is that this new QB, the next Browns QB, whether it's Taylor or whether it's the rookie, though Coach Jackson has indicated he doesn't expect the rookie QB to play this season, wink, wink, nod, nod. We've heard that before, for sure. We know that this new QB will not have Joe Thomas to help protect him, will not have Joe Thomas on the offensive line where he stood guard. He was a guard. No, he's a tackle. He's a tackle. I mean, it was so close. It was so close to being just like the perfect little stood guard because he was a guard. It just didn't work out. It's a good thing I corrected myself, though. So he won't be on the offensive line, and he won't be anchor is maybe an odd word for it, but I think he was an anchor to the line and certainly a stabilizing factor for that offense, considering how many quarterbacks they went through, how many different times they tried to throw a guy out there hoping to catch lightning in a bottle, or because they had to. Because their QBs kept getting injured. At least Joe Thomas was a constant. It's a big loss. It's a big hole to not have him, but also to not have his leadership, to not have his veteran presence, a guy who had literally been through everything in Cleveland, everything, including this last season where they went 0-16, though he obviously didn't play all year long. He was honored on Monday with a retirement ceremony before he went to the Cavaliers basketball game against the Milwaukee Bucks, and then he was introduced and asked to stand up during a timeout. And so it was a good day to be Joe Thomas. He says he's converting from a player to the Browns' number one fan. Still, it won't be the same as having him out there on the field every week, having him in the locker room every single day, and owner Jimmy Haslam knows that.
Not only did Joe play a lot and play frequently, he played exceptionally well. Listen to this one statistic. He was selected to 10 straight Pro Bowls. In the history of the NFL, only five other people have accomplished that, and none of them was a lineman, okay? None of them was a lineman. The Cleveland Browns have had two members of its football team make nine Pro Bowls, and they're both in the Hall of Fame, Jim Brown and Lou Groza. And so I think that shows you the kind of stature that Joe has achieved. And that's why I think today is a day that we really begin celebrating Joe Thomas's career. We'll celebrate it again this year at one of our games when the number 10,363 is inducted into our Ring of Honor. And 5 years from now, all of us in this room will make the trek down to Canton, where I feel very, very certain that Joe will be inducted as a first ballot Hall of Famer into a position he richly deserves, along with the other greats of the game.
Each one of those coaches have given me something on the field and in life that I'll definitely take with me for the rest of my life. And one thing that I learned from those coaches that I'll never forget, and it's something that I teach young kids about when I get the opportunity to speak to high school kids, is there's three things in life and in football that if you can master and you can remember from time to time, you'll be able to be successful in that. It's be on time, pay attention, and work hard. If you can do those three things in life or on the football field, you have an opportunity to have great success. And I thank you guys for all those great lessons that I learned on the football field.
Joe Thomas thanked all of his coaches, and there were many, let's be honest. He also thanked the fans, and there were many, let's be honest. Cleveland Browns have a very passionate fan base. Though disgruntled, though long-suffering, certainly a passionate fan base. So it's hard to see Joe Thomas go. By the way, he will not be staying in Cleveland. He and his wife are moving back to Wisconsin with their three kids because that's where both of their families live. And so they will be departing the Cleveland area, which I think hurts even more. Not that he can't get on a plane and go back, and certainly will be honored during the season, as owner Jimmy Haslam said, but he's not going to be around. For the most part, he's not going to be around. They could have used him. They could have used his wisdom. They could have used his experience. Not only was it the torn tricep muscle, but it was knee pain and all kinds of other stuff. So physically, his body wasn't having it anymore. And we'll definitely miss him. 10,363 consecutive snaps. And I know some of you have said that's going to be the biggest adjustment about the Cleveland Browns coming up in 2018. All right, straight ahead, we'll get to our Twitter Tuesday question, which, side note, has zero to do with sports, unless, of course, you pick a sports movie. That's all I'm going to say. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page is After Hours with Amy Lawrence, just like the show. Thanks for tuning in. I already said that. There's going to be repetition. Repetition, repetition, repetition. That's how people remember what you say. So I'm going to keep saying thank you so that you remember that I thank you on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Couple of fun basketball nerd alerts. Pretty astounding nerd alerts, if you ask me. We'll get to those before the bottom of the hour. But I've got a brand new Twitter Tuesday for you. As we say, get thee behind me, Monday. I'm done. I'm done with Monday. Done. If it could be for more than a week, I would skip Monday next week, too. It was a rough one. I hope yours was better than mine. I think I'm a little extra cranky because in my neighborhood, we're 15 degrees below normal temps. And I feel like I'm stuck in the movie Frozen. Like, that's what I said to my neighbor this morning. And his response was, ha, 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 like he cackled. So I was glad he found it amusing, but I was being serious and I was cranky. His response after laughing was, well, only six more months and it will finally be warm. I mean, we're making cold jokes one day before spring. No, I hope it's warmer wherever you are. I don't know what the heck happened to global warming, but it skipped my neighborhood. So anyway, I think I'm a little bit, yeah, because I'm tired of wearing a winter coat. However, I survived it, I guess, barely. And I'm really excited to do a Twitter Tuesday question that I think will be fun, outside the box. And I know this is going to be one that you respond to because I put it on Twitter on Sunday. Don't ask me why. I responded to someone else's tweet and I put it on Twitter and I got hundreds of responses actually debating with me, giving me your own ideas. And so I think it'll be one now that if we introduce on the show, we'll get even more replies on Twitter and we'll put it up on Facebook too. Ben Howe, do you know his name? He's a filmmaker. That's not really the important part, but I want to give him credit because he was the one that put the question out there. And then my reply is what set our Twitter on fire. His tweet was to name the best soundtrack in the history of film. And my reply was Top Gun. Love the Top Gun soundtrack. Amazing. I could probably sing half the songs on it. Such a good movie. I can't believe it's such a long time ago. Oh, yeah. This is my absolute favorite. It's Danger Zone and Kenny Loggins. But there are many other songs. Like, how about Playing with the Boys? Oh, my gosh. The volleyball scene. What? If you can find that one, Isaac, I'd be thrilled. But this is also a good one. I've been known to cover this song every now and then when no one's paying attention. So, in my opinion, Top Gun is the best soundtrack in the history of film. That's mine. And it's up to you to shout me down on Twitter Tuesday. By the way, if you send me a tweet that says Frozen, that's the end of our beautiful relationship. We're done. Can we make a rejoin out of this, please? It's a throwback. Such a great, great song. I mean, for those of you who've seen Top Gun, anytime you hear this song, don't you instantly think of the beach volleyball scene? It's classic. It's iconic. All right, so I say Top Gun is the soundtrack, the best one in the history of film. I just really want to listen to it now, actually. But you can find me on Twitter. That's our Twitter Tuesday question. What is your soundtrack, your film soundtrack that you think tops this one? And I tell you, it was tough for me when people started sending me tweets about the Star Wars soundtracks. They're amazing. I will give you that. But I feel like there are more songs on this particular soundtrack that became hits, that were hits. And that you... No, that's not fair! It's a different kind of music, obviously. It's orchestra music for most of the Star Wars soundtrack, and it's amazing. I love it. I mean, it's the scores, the original scores. Talk about iconic. You know exactly what they are. I know I'm a terrible person. I'm a terrible Star Wars fan, but I went Top Gun. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and you can tell me what film soundtrack out there you think tops Top Gun. Again, A-Law Radio or our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. As we say, suck it Monday and move on to Tuesday. Or at least that's what I said to Monday. And yet it still got the best of me. All right, a couple of basketball nerd alerts, which I think are fascinating. One of them potentially in jeopardy. For those of you who follow women's basketball, they just wrapped up their four days of crazy March Madness. They had buzzer beaters as well, so they're down to their Sweet 16. UConn did not need a buzzer beater, just I'm going to be honest here. The UConn women did not need a buzzer beater. Now, let's remember, the Huskies are not defending champs. Y'all remember how they got upset last year by Mississippi State in the national semifinals? It's one heck of a game. It was crazy. It was so awesome to see so many people on social media talking about women's basketball. And everybody focused in. The way that the entire country seemed to be focused, or at least on social media, seemed to be focused on the UMBC-Virginia upset. That's how it was last year when it was UConn losing and not even getting back to the championship game. This year, you've got another undefeated Huskies team. It's crazy. What, 32-0 or some such nonsense? I mean, it's that's the standard that UConn has set. And by beating Quinnipiac in the round of 32, which is also a Connecticut school, by the way, by beating Quinnipiac, UConn reached its 25th consecutive Sweet 16. What? That is insane. And I mean that in the best possible way. Insane. 25 straight Sweet 16 berths for the UConn Huskies. And many of them, I think, don't quote me on this, I think it's six or seven of them in which they've gone in undefeated. Which that part is even nuttier. Hard to wrap your brain around that. Here's another UConn nerd alert. They just scored the most points ever in back-to-back NCAA tournament games.
Take that for data.
In two games, no team, two consecutive games in March Madness, no team has ever scored more points than UConn just did in back-to-back games. 211. 211. Oh my gosh. And I understand you feel badly for St. Francis. That was their 116 matchup. And it was 88-point victory. And this is without the starters playing the fourth quarter. So I understand people point to that and say that's bad for basketball. I don't think it is. I think women's basketball is deeper and is tougher than it's ever been, as is evidenced by last year's Final Four. But coming off of that game, the Huskies then beat Quinnipiac 71-46. And so in two games, they scored 211 points, which is the most ever for back-to-back tournament performances. Wow. So 25 straight Sweet 16s. Hold that up next to the San Antonio Spurs, who have made 20 consecutive playoff appearances. I'm not sure what's more impressive. They're both really impressive. I don't think we need to compare and decide which one is which. But the Spurs is in danger now. I know they're up to fifth in the West, and they've won four straight games. But they're only three games out of completely missing the playoffs. Right? So we've talked about this before. From the Blazers down to the Nuggets, teams 3-10 in the West, there are only 6.5 games of separation. And then from the Spurs, who are in fifth, to the Timberwolves, who are in eighth, there's just a game separation. How about that? You've got four teams, 5, 6, 7, 8 in the West, separated by one measly game.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding, Coach Pop. So 20 consecutive playoffs for the San Antonio Spurs, but here's the kicker. Even as I drop the nerd alert on you, here's the kicker. 8 of San Antonio's final 11 games are against teams already in the playoffs or teams positioned to be in the postseason.
Nerd alert.
They've got a very difficult schedule remaining. If they're going to stay in the playoffs in the West, they need to continue this win streak here. And they got to be really careful because the Jazz are right behind them, a half game back with 9 straight wins. I know it's a lot of numbers to throw at you, but just it's amazing the consistency of both the UConn women as well as the San Antonio Spurs. Will the Spurs see that streak of 20 consecutive playoff appearances come to an end this year? I hope not. I really, really hope Kawhi Leonard comes back. But man, they have fought it out all season long. And LaMarcus Aldridge has really stepped up into a leadership role. He's been forced to. All right, you're blowing up my Twitter already. I love it. I don't know that you can talk me down off my mountain. I say Top Gun is the greatest film soundtrack of all time. That's our Twitter Tuesday question. A-Law Radio, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and we'll get to your responses coming up. Isaac's going to have fun dropping in some music. I know it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I turn the air condition off, it comes back on. I turn the air condition off, it comes back on. It's like everything in my life is conspiring to make me cold. I'm stuck in the movie Frozen. That's what's happening right now. So anyone who submits Frozen as the best film soundtrack of all time has been excommunicated from me on social media. That's the end. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, you're tempting me, though. I was set on Top Gun. And, by the way, it's one of the greatest selling movie soundtracks of all time, if you must know. It's old. I get it. Top Gun's a classic. I'm old. I get it. I'm a classic. So Top Gun's the one. But you've sent me two so far that are making me think a little bit. Uh-oh. So that's our Twitter Tuesday question. What is your favorite? No, not your favorite. What is the best movie soundtrack of all time? We're ranking them, baby. You love to rank things. Let's rank them. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and I am sure that producer Tom, if he hasn't already, is going to put a spot up on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It is up, he says. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. Oh, that's so cool. Look at the album cover on our Facebook page. Again, 855-212-4227. By the way, the Facebook algorithm just let us know that Boost is unavailable. That's what it says on the post. It's like another conspiracy theory. Everybody in the world wants me to be cold, or everything in the world wants me to be cold, and Facebook is against our show. Maybe Facebook's just jealous of how popular our show is getting. Did you notice we're almost at 24,000 likes, which means I have to post the picture of me flying through the air. Like literally flying through the air. It's part of my it's a snapshot from my skydiving escapade. And then when we hit 25,000 likes, it'll be the video. You'll never look at me the same. I mean, all those people who called up for the past 5 years and talked about how attractive I am. Yeah, just wait.
Looking forward to this one.
Once you've seen me skydiving with my cheeks like smushed back and all kinds of weird wrinkles. Yeah, no, I guess that will take care of the people who call up and want to tell me what they think of my appearance. That won't
probably
happen
not.
Anymore.
Probably not. In fact, it'll make it worse. You doing something that's braver than like what 96% of people would do, I don't think it's going to help.
Someone told me once that only 12%, I think was the number. Maybe it was less than that. It was a very small percentage of Americans would ever run a half marathon. And kind of, I don't know, I find that to be, I wasn't sure I believe the number. I found it to be odd considering that these half marathons have thousands and thousands and thousands of people that run them. I certainly could believe that about a marathon. That's a small percentage. But yeah, when it comes to skydiving, I feel like it's pretty popular that lots of people do it.
You think it's higher than 12% would do it?
I don't know. Probably. How do they stay in business if not?
I mean, 12% is a lot of people.
It is. But how would they stay? I mean, there's skydiving places everywhere you go, you know? So, it's interesting. No, it doesn't really matter, just me and my little stats brain. So, 855-212-4227, that's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with some great news. That's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. We still have some football stuff to get to, and also other coaches weighing in about the Ty Lue health scare. It's gotten bad enough that the Cavaliers head coach will step away for what could be a week, could be more. The team has essentially forced his hand and said, it's time. You've been putting it off. We know you're not going to take the step on your own. And so the team kind of shut him down. Here we are with, what, 12 games to go, roughly 11, 12 games to go for these teams before the postseason begins. And while the Cavaliers have veterans and great leadership and guys obviously who've been around the block a long time, you wouldn't think it would affect them as much. Still, it's another change that the team has to deal with. So we'll do some more hoops, and we'll also do some NFL after the top. But our Twitter Tuesday question, 855-212-4227. Brian is listening in Detroit. Brian, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, what's up? Best instrumental-only soundtrack, Last of the Mohicans.
Okay, but that's not the quality. What am I talking about? That's not the category.
Best soundtrack?
Best film soundtrack of all time. You're saying instrumental, so you're breaking it up into categories.
Yeah, I'm just saying there's no actual singing in the instrumental. It's just all music. You know.
I do know.
Mm-hmm. Instruments.
Yes.
You know, there's no actual singing, mm-hmm. but still best soundtrack of all time to me.
Okay.
Last Mohicans.
Got it. That is beautiful music. Love that music. The music and the scenery, incredible for sure. That's a great movie. So I don't think it tops, you're welcome, Brian, in Detroit. I don't think it tops Top Gun, though, because let's just hold them up against each other. How many songs can you name from the Top Gun soundtrack versus Last of the Mohicans, where you might recognize it if you heard it, but I'm not even sure. For instance, you would recognize Star Wars music no matter what. It's worldwide. It's used over and over and over again. It's some of the most incredible movies and highest grossing films of all time. And so you know the music. Would you know Last of the Mohicans if Isaac started playing it? I don't think I would. I think I'd have to see the movie again, too. It's been a while since I've seen the movie. Let's see. David is in Sheffield, Ohio. Welcome to After Hours and Twitter Tuesday. What you got, David?
I'm going to have to agree with you, Amy. The Top Gun soundtrack is the greatest of all time. And it actually turned 31 years old yesterday.
The Top Gun soundtrack did, or the movie?
Well, the movie turned 31 years old yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so old.
It's here.
What?
I have the soundtrack on my iTunes. Greatest soundtrack ever.
So which ones are your favorite? What are a couple of songs that your go-tos?
Hopefully none of my friends are listening, because I'll take some heat for this, but Playing with the Boys is probably one of the best ones out
there. Yes, it is.
Please, and then Danger Zone, but then, I mean, I don't think this one's on there, but Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Yeah, no, it is. They did a special edition a couple years later, and they included Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Okay, yeah, because that's one of the key parts of the whole movie. That's when that's when Maverick is talking about, you know, the things that happened with his dad or whatnot.
Yeah. Now I'm going to have to go back and watch the movie, too. But one of my favorites that was also added after the fact is Great Balls of Fire. I was always bummed that it wasn't on the original soundtrack, but they re-released it a few years later. Or not a few years later, but like the next decade, and they included Jerry Lee Lewis and Great Balls of Fire. And also, You've Lost That Lovin' Feelin', which wasn't on the original soundtrack either.
I don't understand how the song that ended the movie wasn't on the soundtrack.
Seriously.
It's not right. Yeah. But, I mean, they made it right. They put it on there.
So. Yeah. Also, I think it's awesome that you're a closet Kenny Loggins fan, David. That is fantastic.
Yes. But I appreciate you for taking my call, Amy. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David. It takes a real man to admit that he's a Kenny Loggins fan. I'm going to point that out. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Jason, who's on Cape Cod. Jason, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Haven't called in a while, but this was an interesting topic. I think Top Gun is one of the best soundtracks ever.
Yes!
However, recently I watched this movie, Atomic Blonde, and it brought me right back to the 80s, and it's one of the best soundtracks I've heard in a long, long time.
Okay. You know, I haven't seen it, so I'll have to check it out. I do love my 80s music.
Oh, it's great. You'll love it.
Every time I go to the grocery store, I do my grocery shopping late at night just because there's fewer people there and I don't really like people. And so I go to the grocery store and they always have 80s night. I don't know if it's because the people who stock the shelves, because it's usually me and the people who are stocking shelves. And I don't know if it's because like the head of the crew loves the 80s. But yeah, we're talking about classic 80s every time I go to the grocery store at like 10:30 at night. So maybe I'll hear some of those songs the next time.
I think you will. You love the movie, too. It's great. It's awesome.
All right. I'll check it out. Thanks, Jason.
All right.
That is so true, by the way. Whoever it is that's in charge of the music late night in my grocery store, it's always 80s music. It's awesome. And guess who is typically singing out loud? Yeah, I have no idea who. I was just saying, take a guess. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. Hashtag Twitter Tuesday. Kyle says, I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this one, but how about Space Jam? Okay. I still haven't seen Space Jam. I still haven't seen it.
You got to fix this. It's a real good soundtrack.
Okay.
Classic. It's
okay.
In the discussion. Yeah, there you go. It's so funny. When you finally see this movie, I'm going to get a text one day, like a random text, just like, oh, my gosh, Space Jam. I watched it. Yeah. Yes. Larry Bird. Charles.
No, see, that's enough. I should be just because of Larry. Yeah. Jose says on Twitter, best soundtrack of all time has to be Rocky IV. Nothing more motivating than that movie's music. All right. David says he's torn between Grease, and Purple Rain. I've seen a lot of Purple Rain as best film soundtrack for sure. Albert says, how about giving a country twang and putting an urban cowboy to your soundtrack greatness? Yeah, also some really good songs there. Dave says, Knight's Tale, starring Heath Ledger. With music? I don't recall that one having really good music.
It has contemporary rock music. I just watched it like a month ago again. It shouldn't be in this conversation, but it's a cool soundtrack.
All right. There are a couple who are making me consider or reconsider. Have I made the right choice? One of them I hadn't seen before tonight. And now that I'm thinking about it, Matt says The Bodyguard. Of course. Whitney Houston, I have that soundtrack, and I have all of those songs, the remixes, everything. So now I'm kind of reconsidering. God, that one's tough. Roberta says Lord of the Rings for instrumental, but vocals, she says Footloose, the original 1984 version. I just know a couple of songs from Footloose for sure. Adam, Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. It's a little before my time, but the music's fun. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You're in a 5-minute break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.